is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately Pompey.
Beginnings, look forward, work together to create a Portsmouth Football Club that we can all be proud to be associated with.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
It's a massive club, it's a massive opportunity for me. I know this atmosphere is special. I can't wait to see a full house and it rocking.
Action and reaction.
This is Shrews Football Club. We're here to be hopefully successful. The infrastructure's changing, so really we want to start pushing forward and making Portsmouth a real force.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
It's a club with a rich tradition, a rich heritage, but one that has an excellent relationship with its supporters.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The Blues' unbeaten start to the campaign has come to a whimpering end.
Wigan coming forward, cross into the penalty area, a good one. A real chance at the far post for Lang. He scored! Wigan 1, Portsmouth 0.
Wigan Athletic inflicted Pompey's first league defeat of the season, winning 1-0 at the DW Stadium on Saturday. Later on, we'll hear from Danny Cowley, who talks us through his emotions following the final whistle, as well as how many new faces he'd like to see through the door before tonight's transfer deadline.
For us to be a team that this club deserves and for us to achieve what everyone associated with this club wants to, we're definitely to a free shot.
Latest edition, Miguel Aziz has also been speaking to the media about why he chose to make the drop down to League One.
I feel like now is an important step for me to get men's football in my legs, experience it in my body, you know, and just growing in my mind, my technical ability, tactically, all these physical aspects of the game, you know. It's important for me to just take a new step in my career.
We've got all of that and so much more to come here on the only radio station from the great island city of Portsmouth. You're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome to a special transfer deadline day edition of the Football Hour here on Express FM. On this Tuesday night, a day later than usual, we've got you covered with the latest news coming out of PO4 as well as the rest of League 1-2. The clock is ticking down, just a few hours remain until the window slams shut. With 13 already signed up by Danny Cowley this summer, how many more would you like to see added to the squad this evening? Which position does the gaffer need to strengthen the most? And would you be disappointed to see either Marcus Harness or Ronan Curtis depart, even if it meant freeing up funds for a new signing? As always, we'd love to hear from you back home tonight. It's 81400 on the text, starting those with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. We start tonight's show by reviewing the events of Pompey's weekend action. Deadline day has been pretty quiet at Fratton Park so far, so we're in no real rush to talk about that just yet. So let's turn the clock back to 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. The unbeaten Blues took to the road once more, with Wigan Athletic the destination. Andy Moon and Glenn Little were your commentary team at the DW.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
And here we go, the first big test for Danny Cowley's Portsmouth here in League One. And the ball immediately back with Kieran Freeman, who saw his backup right back, Callum Johnson, leave early this week. Long ball down the right-hand side. For a Pompey throw. It's lofted towards the far post. Men coming in. Ragged attacks it. And Derek was on the line to clear it away. There was a lot of bodies there. Marcus is trying to turn it goal-bound. And Wigan survive. And it's behind for a goal kick. Keane comes down the touchline. And here's Jones. This is dangerous for Pompey. Jones trying to break into the penalty area. Twisting one way than the other. Oh, great from Jones. Jones goes to ground. No penalty, says the referee. And through to Bizunu and Richardson. The Wigan manager not happy. Wigan coming forward. Cross into the penalty area. It's a good one. A real chance at the far post for Lang. He scored, putting it into the bottom corner through the legs of Sean Williams. And Portsmouth have conceded a goal with just 13 minutes left. A rare foray into their penalty area, and we're going to punish them. Wigan 1, Portsmouth 0. Hurst flicks it on. There's one more chance for Pompey in the box. Curtis miscontrols it. McLean wins it and clears it, and that will be that. Wigan have beaten Portsmouth by a goal to nil. Portsmouth unbeaten. decent start to the season has come to an end.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlight sphere of Saturday's game at the DW Stadium, where Pompey fell to their first league defeat of the season, 1-0 away to Wigan Athletic. Callum Lang on the goal scorer sheet for the hosts. And that result, with goals and results elsewhere, has put Pompey down to fifth in the League One table. However, there are a total of six teams sharing 10 points at the moment between second and seventh place. Sunderland lead the way with 12 points out of a possible 15. Sheffield Wednesday make up the automatic promotion spots, with Oxford, Wigan themselves, Pompey and Wickham Wanderers making up the playoff positions. Burton Albion down in seventh are the other team, also with 10 points from 15. At the bottom of the table, Doncaster Rovers with just 1 point still. They are rock bottom. Crewe Alexandra also with just a singular point down in 23rd. Shrewsbury and Ipswich Town are the other sides in the relegation zone, both teams with 3 points to their name. OK, joining me this evening to discuss Saturday's defeat at the DW, as well as tonight's transfer deadline, first and foremost, Jeff Harris. Jeff, a very good evening to you, sir.
Hi, Jake. Thanks for having me back on.
Pleasure as always, Jeff. And alongside you tonight, let's introduce Rob Calcutt. Rob, likewise, my friend, great to have you on the show tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me back, Jake. It's a pleasure.
So let's go back to Saturday afternoon then, Jeff, because like I say, it has been a rather quiet deadline day at Fratton Park so far, and we do hope it's going to get a little bit busier. But before we do, you know, discuss that and the deals that could be on the table for Danny Cowley, Saturday's defeat at the DW, Wigan Athletic, really the toughest test that the Blues have come up against so far in the league this season. And unfortunately, it ended in defeat.
Yeah, I actually thought we made them look good in parts. I think in the first half, we were sloppy in possession. We gave the ball away too cheaply in the final third. The two wingers, wide men, top three, whatever you wanted to call it on Saturday, I don't think they supported Marquis enough. They stayed out wide too much, and you know, if we were going down the left, you'd expect Harness to be coming in on the back post, and vice versa, Curtis coming on the back post if Harness is going down the right. And we were just sloppy, and I think the recent performances of Tony Cliff in midfield and the way he can pick a pass out, he wasn't quite at it either. Maybe because we were playing 4-3-3, I don't really know. But it just seems defensively we were solid in the first half, but we just didn't have that in the final third going forwards, and then got done on pretty much a counter-attack down the opposite end.
Yeah, and you know, Jeff mentions there, Rob, about how, you know, Portsmouth on Saturday were a little bit lacklustre in front of goal, not too clinical in front of goal, creating the chances but not getting the ball into the back of the net. And if you look back at Pompey's opening two or three matches of the season, the wins over Fleetwood, Crewe and Shrewsbury, all without conceding a goal. Yes, you know, they were fantastic wins, and we mentioned these on Friday, but, you know, those are still matches of which Pompey could have scored more goals in. And ultimately, it's come down on Saturday at Wigan, where we've come up against a team who will punish Pompey if we aren't quite as clinical in front of goal. And that is exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's just coming down to taking those chances at the end, isn't it? We had more shots than Wigan. We had 10, they had 6. But, you know, it's no good having all these shots and you can't actually take them. And then, fortunately for Wigan, they were able to get their clinical chance in the last 10, 15 minutes of the game. And ultimately, they won it. We just didn't have enough time to get a response. But I agree with Jeff. The defence looked really good in the first half. It's just that goal, I don't think Lang, you know, he wasn't having much cover on him, not much defence on him. He took his chance and ultimately lose the 3 points.
Yeah. And Jeff, that's now two league matches for Pompey without a goal following the 0-0 draw at Doncaster Rovers the week prior as well. What do you think really needs to change for Pompey in order for the goals to start flowing? Is there something wrong with the, you know, the players that are being put out on the team, or is it just, you know, really the squad starting to gel? Is what do you pin it down to?
There is an argument for both. You know, apart from the front three that played Saturday, it's pretty much a new team. Yeah, you've got Lee Brown at left back and Sean Radley playing centre half. But apart from that, you know, the defence is pretty much a new back four. Mm. And so the midfield area. So you'd expect a little bit of inconsistency in the back four and the midfield two or three, whatever we're playing in there. But you'd expect that front three, who's had two or three seasons together now, to be at it and have those relationships. Yeah, you've got to build up a relationship with the midfield players coming in behind you and getting to know if they want to play it short, you know, into the channels or whatever. But when that final three get the ball, you'd expect them to come alive and know each other's strengths and what to do. Like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, you know, if Harness is going down the right, you'd expect Curtis to be coming in off the back post, or if Marcus has gone into the six-yard box, Curtis or Harness to be picking up the penalty spot areas, or Tunnicliffe coming in there. So you can forgive the midfield to a degree, but there was no excuse for the front three on Saturday.
Yeah. And we've got an email here from Matt Wheatley. Good evening to you, Matt. Thanks for getting in touch tonight. Hi, Jake and the team. Disappointing result on Saturday, but I felt that we controlled large parts of the game, especially in the first half. Wigan seemed to grow into the match when James McLean come on in the second half and got the win, which probably was not deserved. A draw, I think, would have been a fair result. As many Pompey fans have already said, we need more of a cutting edge up front. A number 10 or a new pacey striker would improve our team, but it won't be easy getting that type of player in. Hopefully the Cowleys can work their magic on a limited budget. Let's hope so anyway. Play up Pompey, Matt Wheatley on the emails. Thank you for getting in touch once again, Matt Wheatley on the emails. And yeah, look, back to our game on Saturday, Rob. Wigan Athletic, did they really deserve all 3 points, or, you know, was it just a case of probably a draw was a fair result? However, they took their chance and Pompey didn't. Is that just all it came down to in the end?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Trouble is with Wigan, like as you said earlier, it's probably it's the toughest test we've had so far. So, losing's bad, but it's not like we've lost against a team in the bottom half of the table. But it's going back to the talk about what we need up front. We just need someone that can actually take the chances. I think, you know, a bit more clinical players in the squad, we could have easily won that game 2 or 3-1. But yeah, it's literally just in League One, if you don't take your chances, then you're not going to get any points, and that's what happened on Saturday.
Yeah, all bark but no real bite from the Blues on Saturday. Jeff, by no means was it a bad performance, because like we say, we were certainly creating the chances, and, you know, as Danny Cowley mentioned after the game, and we'll hear from him later on in the show, his side actually dominated large periods of a match against a very good Wigan team. It is quite literally just that cutting edge in front of goal that, so far from what we've seen this season anyway, that is all that needs improving.
Yeah, and, you know, as I said, it was that, you know, I think we made Wigan look good. I don't think Wigan were any better than us technically or how they played. I just think they were more clinical in goal. They had a chance and they took it, and it was a rare mistake, I think, by a back four towards the end of the second half.
Yeah, a few more text tweets and emails coming in tonight. Alan Swift on the emails. Hi, Jake and the team. Both Curtis and Harness have not performed to their usual standards, and I would like to know why. Neither would be missed at the moment, according to Alan on the emails. No one is priority. Is a confirmed striker, which I think is unlikely. Let's hope the new playmaker gives us a boost, as we certainly need it. Miguel Aziz, Alan is talking about there. Luck in goals usually means a lower league position, which may be where we are currently heading. Let's hope for a couple of late surprises. Cheers, Alan and Southsea. Rob, along the lines of those comments from Alan on the emails, are Pompey heading to a lower league finish, or is that perhaps a little bit of an exaggeration?
I think it's a bit of an exaggeration after just 5 games. I think, obviously, the first 3 games were all wins, no goals conceded. We're thinking we're going to win the league, we're going to go straight back up to the Championship. But I don't think we'll go down even further. I think it could be another season of hanging around the playoff spots, sort of 7th, 8th, 9th position. I just think, obviously, there's been a lot of new arrivals coming into this team. And it's going to take a bit of time for them all to click. I think the midfield has done really well so far. I've got lots of championship experience. It's just going forward, it just needs to work a little bit more and being more clinical in the chances. And I think we'll be fine overall, but I think a lower position is a bit of an exaggeration at the moment.
Yeah, and a question, Jeff, relevant obviously to tonight's transfer deadline, which, you know, the window shuts in somewhat 5 hours' time. Is one of Pompey's real problems at the moment squad depth and a lack of quality players in certain positions?
I think so. I mean, I was on the show a few weeks back and we talked about squad depth and the starting 11. I think we've got a very good, strong 13, 14 core players. Beyond that, we've got a lot of youth or lack of youth coming through, you know, whatever way you look at it. I think if we were to be able to sign a quality defender, another quality defender, and an attacking midfield player and a winger and a striker, that, you know, that's four players. Realistically, are we going to sign four players?
No.
Probably not. Are we going to sign two? Probably. I actually think we are going to have a really strong January window. I think the Cowleys have put together a really good squad, like I said, a strong 13-14. But I think we'll really see their metal when January comes and that window opens again. They said it before, base them on 2 or 3 windows. And I think we'll get a really quality signing, depending where we are in the league. And I fully expect us to be in the top five come January. I'm not panicking. It's one defeat. We were going to lose at some point. It's better to get it out of the way early. You learn from it, and hopefully we can learn from it and push on.
Wise words and a great note to leave us for part one. Okay, Jeff, Rob, do stick with us because we're going to head to the first of two breaks this evening, after which we'll hear the post-match thoughts of Blues boss Danny Cowley, who highlights the improvements that need to be made to prevent another blank in front of goal.
So you come to a team that's recruited as aggressively as Wigan and have as much control in the game at their home stadium, and I think there's a lot of the process that we can be pleased with, but obviously we're disappointed with the outcome.
And don't forget to keep those texts, tweets and emails coming in from back home to Pompey fans. Have you been impressed with this summer's transfer business? Would you have hoped to see a much busier transfer deadline day at PO4? And who would you like to see arrive on the South Coast before the window closes? Text Express and your message to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com. Include @expressfm if you're on Twitter, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. The three of us will be back very soon with more Blues discussion and deadline day news. Stick around here to Express FM for part two of tonight's Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to Express FM and welcome back to the Football Hour. Before the break, myself, Jeff Harris and Rob Calcutt were digging deeper into Pompey's performance at the weekend, which led to a 1-0 defeat to Wigan away from home. We'll hear more from those two in a few moments' time, but first, let's hear what the gaffer had to say. Danny Cowley spoke to Ollie Marsh on the touchline at the DW Stadium.
Well, Danny, that must have been a tough one to take. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, we're disappointed to lose a game that we had so much control in. I thought first half, we probably played the best that we've played all season. Come to a club like Wigan, have got new owners and have been really aggressive in terms of their recruitment. You've only got to look at their squad and their bench to realise the depth that they've got. And yeah, for us to play as well as we did first half, we were probably coming at half time just disappointed that we hadn't made the most of the good moments that we'd created. Second half, I thought again we had a good place in the game. Probably just gave the ball away a little bit too much in the second half, and yeah, we were really disappointed with the lack of cutting edge that we had in the final third.
What can you do to change that and to give yourself more attacking threat?
Well, I think you have to keep working. We need to get one or two of our attacking players in a bit of rhythm and need to get some better outputs from one or two. And, yeah, for us, it's to continue to work. You know, I think we've, you know, played with the most control that we have all season.
We continually got to the final third. We continually got into the box, but we lacked a little bit of quality with our final action and definitely some ruthlessness in terms of our finishing.
As you say, you did have a lot of control on the game. It looked like a slight difference in formation to start. We'd just talk us through that one.
Yeah, no, we just come away from home to one of the teams we anticipate that will be right in and around the promotion race. And sometimes to play with a double pivot gives you a little bit more control. And so it proved. I thought, you know, Joe and Willow were excellent in there. Allowed us to play Ryan Tunnicliffe a little bit more advanced. And yeah, I thought first half we cut through them at will. We knew that they kind of pressed in the 4-4-2 and that would give us an extra little bit of overload in the middle. And yeah, we're just disappointed that we've played as well as we have and haven't come away with anything. But ultimately, you know, you can play well box to box. It's what you do especially in the attacking box. I mean, listen, defensively, I think they've only had one shot on target. So you come to a team that's recruited as aggressively as Wigan and have as much control in the game at their home stadium. And I think there's a lot of the process that we can be pleased with, but obviously we're disappointed with the outcome.
Yeah, and of course, I think you said going into the game it was going to be your toughest test. Do you think that you're going to be stronger because of it, because you've been able to test yourselves against them today?
Well, I think we're always learning, aren't we? We aim to come out of every game with learning and come out of every game as a better team. And that, without doubt, is our ambition. Yeah, like I said, it'd be a good opportunity for us to look back and just see where we had such control of the game for probably the first 60 minutes. It'd just be interesting for us to look back. As I said, I felt like we didn't make the first and second pass from maybe 60 to 90. And then, yeah, a couple maybe just fell off a bit physically. So, you know, you put those two bits together and you're not clinical with your final action and you then end up coming up short. And it'd be easy for us to go away and say, oh, how unlucky we are and didn't get the run of the ball and excuse. But for us, we'd rather try to find out the reasons, because it's the reasons and the whys which allow us to improve and get better.
And just finally, with the transfer deadline looming, how do you see the next few days going for yourself?
Well, we hope it's busy. We obviously know that we've probably got to move out to move in. Callum Johnson has obviously gone out on loan. Probably wasn't our preference for Callum to go out, but I think everyone will respect that some players are easier to move than others for obvious reasons. And there was a market for Callum, and what that has done is given us an opportunity to maybe, we'll certainly bring one in, maybe one and a half in, which will help us because, yeah, like I've said, for us to be a team that this club deserves and for us to achieve what everyone associated with this club wants to, we're definitely 2 or 3 short.
The post-match reaction of Danny Cowley there following Saturday's defeat at the DW Stadium. And Jeff, the gaffer there really recognising what is needed, certainly tonight as the hours tick by, Miss Transfer Deadline Day, what is needed to improve this squad if we're going to be competing at the end of the season?
Yeah, you know, it's a polar opposite to previous managers, isn't it? You know, he accepts the responsibility. He's quite transparent in his game analysis. I think that's refreshing for the fans to hear. You know, Portsmouth fans aren't gullible, they're not stupid. And for Danny Cowley to come out and say what we are thinking as fans is brilliant. And you know, you'd expect the manager to know where he needs to strengthen. And it'll be good to see what actually happens come 11 o'clock. It obviously depends on players going out the door. There could be one or two shots in stall. But who knows? It's deadline day, isn't it?
Yeah. Deadline day really can throw up the strangest of surprises. But look, you know, like Jeff's just mentioned there, Rob, there are a few hours to go. Deadline day can throw up all sorts of surprises. It has been a very quiet day as far as Pompey are concerned. We'll talk about the kind of players we've heard reported that have been linked to the club over the last 24 hours, the positions of which, you know, supporters at least are hoping to improve upon in this squad. But first of all, let's highlight the signings that have been made by Danny and Nicky Cowley so far this summer. Of course, Liam Vincent, the left-back, came in on June the 2nd. Clark Robertson, June 22nd. Sean Williams, Ryan Tunnicliffe and Gavin Bazunu. Kieran Threeman, Gassan Ahadmi and Jaden Reed. And then in August, Connor Ogilvie, George Hurst, Joe Morrell, Louis Thompson and yesterday, Miguel Aziz put pen to paper on a season-long loan deal from Premier League outfit Arsenal. Rob, your overall assessment of that business so far?
I think it's really, really strong business. I think particularly in the midfield areas, obviously we lost Naylor and Close to other League One clubs, but I think the signings of Williams and Tunnicliffe and Morrell from Championship teams just brings so much more quality and experience into the side, and arguably they're better players than Naylor and Close, but I think overall it's really, really top business. And I remember watching the Havant friendly when we saw Ahadmi for the first time. Mm. And he scored that hat trick, and everyone was wanting him to sign there and then. But I think the Cowleys have done really, really well considering sort of the financial restrictions the club may have had this summer. Obviously, they couldn't sign too many contract extensions with wages and stuff. So I think the Cowleys should be very proud of what they've done this summer.
Yeah. And in case you did miss the news at the weekend, Callum Johnson, the right back at Pompey, has gone out on a season-long loan to Fleetwood Town. Jeff, a bit of a shock, that one. The reports were coming out a little bit towards the end of last week, and it was confirmed, you know, in a matter of hours by the club. Callum Johnson, is he a player you expected to be leaving Fratton Park this summer?
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because you wouldn't expect Callum Johnson to be one of the highest earners at Fratton Park. So to hear Danny Cowley say it frees up one and a half players to come in by sending them out on loan. And obviously, Callum Johnson is one of our better players. So rightly, there would be people interested in taking him, and Fleetwood did. But so, yeah, it's a bit of a weird one because if he isn't one of the biggest earners, to free up his wages would only go so far to bringing in a better quality player, if that makes sense. It's certainly not going to fund a better player unless we gave Callum Johnson a ridiculous contract when he signed. But, you know, it's Pompey, nothing surprises me. So yeah, it's arguably a bizarre one, but you can see the logic behind it.
Mm. Certainly with Kieran Threeman playing the way that he is, Rob, also a right back, fighting for that position was Callum Johnson, but Kieran Threeman arguably one of the most solid players in that position in the division, a completely changed player since he was last at the club a number of years ago, come back a brand new player. Really hard for Callum Johnson to get into that team. Of course, we've got Haji Manoga, a Pompey youngster, really one of only two players within this current squad that have come through the academy ranks. And you don't really want to see him go out on loan too much because he's trying to burst into the team himself. So as much as the Callum Johnson loan deal was perhaps a bizarre one and one that maybe not many people saw coming, it does make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, it does. I was surprised to see Johnson go because I thought he was probably one of the club's best players last season. But as you said with Freeman, obviously he was on loan back in 2015, 2016. He's now had 4 or 5 years experience at a top level. He's come back and he's had a really good start. And with Manoga, I think he can learn a lot from him. Obviously, Hadji's come in at points a few times over the last couple of years and he's impressed. But I think Freeman has had a really good start and, like I said, really helped develop Manoga. And it would have been a shame to see him go out on loan or transfer or whatever, but I'm glad we're keeping him for sure.
Yeah, and just an announcement from AFC Bournemouth. This really doesn't have a lot to do with Pompey at the moment, but 3 minutes ago, AFC Bournemouth announced on Twitter that they have signed Jamal Lowe. And if the reports are true from throughout the day, from various journalists from the Swansea and Bournemouth areas, that fee is only around about £1.5 million. And I say only because we all know the quality that Jamal Lowe has, really highly rated at Swansea City, a team themselves pushing for Premier League promotion. But yeah, Jeff Harris, Jamal Lowe, he's returned to the South Coast. Unfortunately, it's not to Fratton Park.
Yeah, when you see the price tag of 1.5 million, it puts into contrast Pompey wanting 2 million for Curtis, really, doesn't it? Because I think the two players are poles apart. Don't get me wrong, Curtis is a very good League One player. Is he worth the 2 million? Probably not if Jamal Lowe's 1.5. But I'm sure my dad's side of the family are all Cherries fans to be happy tonight.
Well, we want Pompey fans to be happy tonight, Jeff. And so far, it's not going too well, is it? We've only got a few hours left before that window slams shut. And unfortunately, we still had no one else through the door. And Danny Carley has indicated that he wants two or three more players in before tonight's deadline. Pompey fans back home, get in touch this evening. We'd love to hear from you. Text Express, followed by your name and message to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com. Tweet using @expressfm or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. Let's talk about a few signings that have been made elsewhere in League One, which will impact Pompey this season. And first of all, Rob, it's Saido Berahino to Sheffield Wednesday. The striker, once tipped to be an up-and-coming, promising English talent. His career probably hasn't gone in the same way many expected, but nonetheless, still a decent signing at this level.
It could be a massive signing for Sheffield Wednesday, I think. Obviously, he's had Premier League experience. If he gets his attitude right and he's focused, he could tear up League One, because obviously he scored goals in the Premier League, and at this level, he could just absolutely dominate it. So it's a massive signing for Sheffield Wednesday.
And that really directly impacts the Portsmouth and their transfer business, Jeff, because it was reported by our colleagues at the Portsmouth News that Sheffield Wednesday were one of two teams currently interested in Pompey striker Ellis Harrison, a player, you know, many will know that has been tipped to leave Fratton Park this summer. Certainly if names are going to come in and we're going to free up funds for new signings, Ellis Harrison... Sheffield Wednesday no longer interested, so that really only leaves Plymouth Argyle to secure his services. Now, we talk about how it's been a quiet day for Pompey in terms of transfers in, but like you said earlier, Jeff, it really does come down to players that are departing, because it's quite clear to see that the transfer budget this summer for the club is not as high as the likes of Sheffield Wednesday, Charlton Athletic, Ipswich Town. We are operating on a slightly stricter budget, so we've got to wait for players to be leaving Fratton Park, and Ellis Harrison could be one of those, but obviously that signing for Sheffield Wednesday is dented back a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's two ways players are going to leave Fratton Park, this, you know, before 11. That's either another club comes in for them, or we mutually terminate their contracts. Now, if you've got there's a number of Pompey players that are probably willing to leave the club, but they're on good contracts. Are they going to get that same money if they go elsewhere? No, I'm not suggesting that they're going to hold the club to ransom and sit there and see out their contract and they've got another year, 2 years to go. But, you know, that's the other option. Have the Pompey team, you know, the management team looked at that and is there a possibility to say, OK, we'll pay you off if you go, because ultimately that will free up some wages. We end up with the squad we've got, and as Danny Cowley said the other day, you know, you'll have to work with the likes of Ellis Harrison to get their fitness levels up, to get him playing in a different way he's been used to playing, you know, that target man thing. And that's why I think the January window is going to be the pivotal window for us. Yeah. If nothing happens today, I'm not too concerned. I think we've got enough quality. And I've got faith and belief in the Cowleys to unpick that quality. But if it does happen, great.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we will see more incomings, Rob. But, of course, let's talk about a little bit now. Miguel Aziz, the youngster who's joined Pompey on loan from Arsenal for the season. An attacking midfielder and really highly rated at the Emirates. And possibly one of the reasons that he's joined Portsmouth is because of a link that Arsenal have with Danny Cowley. Now, Danny Cowley, whilst at Huddersfield a couple of seasons ago, you may remember, brought in Emile Smith-Rowe on loan from Arsenal, really developed him as a player, and now he's starting week in, week out for the Gunners. So is it really a surprise to see Arsenal trust Danny and Nicky Cowley with another one of their youngsters? Because he's certainly one for the future, and one they hope will burst onto the scene within their first team in the next few seasons?
No, it's not a surprise. I think Aziz looks like a really exciting player for Pompey. It's his first loan at another club, because obviously he's been in the Arsenal academy for the last few years. But he's got so much pace, power through the midfield. He's got a really good vision and range of passing. I think he scored a really good goal at Blackburn last season, an absolute screamer. And I think with the midfield options he's got around him as well, the likes of Tunnicliffe and Williams, he can also learn a lot from them. So you're right with Emil Smith Rowe as well, who's now starting every single game at Arsenal. So maybe in a couple of years, if Cowley nurtures Aziz rightly, then he'll be starting for the Gunners in a couple of years.
Yeah. Okay, then time for one more break now. And when we return, we'll be hearing from the new man. Miguel Aziz talks us through what he can bring to the team and his ambitions for the season.
I'm a midfielder who likes to get goals. I like to create. I always put 100% in all the games I play, make sure that I give the best account of myself. I'm a winner as well. I want to win games, every game I play, whether it's training, games. I want to make sure that I win, you know. So I hope that I could show the fans that I'm a good aspect of this team. I want to get goals and assists and just get us back to the championship.
Part three and the conclusion of this evening's instalment of the Football Hour is coming up right after the break.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome along for the final time tonight to the Football Hour. And if you just tuned in, fear not, because the show will be available to listen back to again on our website, as well as via Apple and Google Podcasts from around 7:30 this evening. Miguel Aziz became signing number 13 yesterday afternoon. The 18-year-old put pen to paper on a season-long loan deal and spoke to Ollie Marsh about the move, who first asked if the midfielder was happy to finally get the deal over the line.
Yeah, I'm really happy, really pleased to be here. Looking forward to starting a new season, you know. Been a lot of buzz around this move, and I'm just very happy to be here. Grateful for the manager for giving me his trust, and I'm just happy to be here.
What's the manager said to you? I mean, he's always spoken about Emil Smith Rowe, who, similarly to yourself, he had on loan from Arsenal while he was at Huddersfield and has sort of gone onwards and upwards. Is that sort of what you're looking to do as well?
Yeah, for me now, it's just important to get lots of games this season. And of course, Danny's a really good manager. I spoke to Emil about Danny, and yeah, they really good feedback. And I'm just looking forward to working with Danny and all the staff here.
Let's talk about your career so far. Obviously, you spent quite a long time at Arsenal. That must be a great pedigree to come through a club like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been at Arsenal since the age of 5, and it's been good because I've had a lot of good coaches over the years, helping me, keeping me grounded, etc. And I feel like now is an important step for me to get men's football in my legs, experience it in my body, you know, and just growing in my mind, my technical ability, tactically, all these physical aspects of the game, you know. It's important for me to just take a new step in my career.
So in terms of your game, what type of player are you and what sort of things can Pompey fans look forward to expecting from you?
Me, I'm a midfielder who likes to get goals. I like to create. I always put 100% in all the games I play, make sure that I give the best account of myself. I'm a winner as well. I want to win games, every game I play, whether it's training, games. I want to make sure that I win, you know. So I hope that I can show the fans that I'm a good aspect of this team. I want to get goals and assists and just get us back to the championship.
Yeah, because obviously the move's been sort of going on for a little while now. So has that given you a chance to really look at Pompey and sort of look at what you can bring to the team?
Yeah, of course. I've watched so many of the games and looked at all the players in the team. And yeah, it's a really, really good side. And I'm just looking forward to getting started and playing the games in front of the fans.
You've been playing regularly for Arsenal's under 23 sides and other youth sides. So why did you make the decision to sort of break into League One football?
Because I feel like it's an important part of my career, you know, getting men's experience in me. It's going to build me both physically, tactically and mentally as well. And I feel like it's an important step. So I'm just really grateful for this opportunity and I hope that it can stand me in good stead.
The fans have all been watching your compilation videos on Instagram and YouTube. So they're very excited about you signing. Do you feel any sort of pressure coming here to perform for the fans?
No, I mean, there's always going to be pressure wherever I go. You know, that's the business. But I feel like the more pressure I have, the more I thrive under it. So I feel like if the fans can kind of have high expectations on me, I have high expectations on myself. So yeah, I'm looking forward to impressing the fans hopefully and giving them something to smile about.
Was the supporters one of sort of the key factors in bringing you here, sort of having that chance to play in front of Fratton Park crowd?
Yeah, I saw so many videos of the fans and the atmosphere looks crazy, it looks really good. And I'm the type of player that thrives under big atmospheres. So I feel like it was an important part of my decision coming here, playing in front of these great fans.
And you're here for the full season as well, so what are the kind of aspirations in terms of what you and the team want to achieve?
For me, it's just getting back to the championship. This club deserves to be championship or even higher. So I feel like that's the main goal for this team, for me. For me, I want to try and give the best account of myself, win individual accolades, player of the month, etc., player of the season. So I'm trying to, as well as get the team back to the championship, have a good season for myself as well. I feel like they can both counteract with each other really well.
New signing Miguel Azizver, who put pen to paper on a season-long loan deal from Arsenal just yesterday afternoon, speaking there with Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team. Let's bring Jeff and Rob back into the conversation there. We just heard from Miguel Azizver. Jeff, signing number 13 for Danny Cowley this summer, an 18-year-old midfielder from Arsenal. We spoke before the break about his potential and what he can bring to the team. Comes across very well and professional as well, despite his age.
Yeah, he's obviously got something about him. He's playing regularly for the England youth setup. And like you said in the interview, he's been playing for he's a regular for the Arsenal under-23s, and he's been there, I think, since the age of five. So he's got a lot of experience in youth level. He's a very technically gifted player, from what I've seen on the YouTube videos that are going around. I always like to judge players after five or six games and see how they react in a live match experience with the crowd on their back and how they interact that way, because I think you learn more from a player from there than watching, you know, a 3-minute highlight clip on YouTube. Because let's be honest, you know, we could make you look great at football, Jake, on YouTube for 3 minutes.
Thank you. Cheers.
but you know, he's obviously an exciting player, and it's good to. It's good to see that Arsenal have got that faith and trust in the Cowleys to bring him on and hopefully turn him into the next Smith Rowe.
Yeah, let's get to some of the text, tweets and emails coming into us then, as I boot Jeff off the show for calling my football ability poor. He's not wrong, though, let's be honest. Mike Emsworth on the text. This may be controversial, but I wonder if Ronan Curtis is harming our chances a little. He looks as though he put in a good shift against Crewe, but at other times he looks to be going through the motions and keen to blame others for things not going right on the pitch. I could be wrong, but is he giving his all? Mike in Emsworth on the text. Rob, would you say Ronan Curtis is giving his all to the team?
Yeah, I think he is. He has done for the last 2-3 seasons since he's been here. Maybe, you know, recently it's the coming towards the end of the window. They thought, we know there could be talks of a move away, so his head might not be in the right place. But I think he is. I think he'll stay as well. I can't see him leaving this late unless Pompey were able to get a replacement. But I think, you know, start of the season as well, is I'm away for international break as well. So I do think he is. I'll maybe give him a little bit more time and we'll be back to seeing the Ronan that we all know and love.
Yeah. Linda Mail on the emails got in touch this evening. Good evening to you, Linda. Hypothetically, she says, if Pompey were to get a good offer for John Marquis and have a good forward lined up, would you sell him? I'm not blaming him for Saturday's loss. I just don't think we played his strengths. An ongoing debate there, Jeff, over the last couple of seasons. Do Pompey play to John Marquis's strengths? It's always going to come up in conversation. John Marquis, 18 goals for the season last time out. Not a bad return. Not quite possibly the same player as he was at Doncaster. Perhaps, you know, Pompey supporters expecting a little bit more from their, you know, their big name striker. Is he someone you'd be willing to lose if it meant getting someone else in, or would you prefer to get a new striker in as well as John Marquis?
I'd actually like to see a new striker with John Marquis. I don't think we've had that player in behind him that can, you know, regularly supplying goals. Unfortunately, John Marquis is a confidence player. You know, if he misses his first one, you know he'll miss his second one. And it's the third or fourth one that generally goes in. But to score 18 goals, we've said it season after season that we need a number 10. We don't have a number 10. We don't have a second striker. Yet he still scored 18 goals. If he can score 18 goals without a creative player behind him, can someone like Miguel Azizver be the key that unlocks the John Marquis we know from Doncaster?
Possibly. Hopefully. We do hope so. Of course, he's a young talent coming through and we hope that he's got the potential to do that. Certainly Danny Cowley thinks so. Anyway, Tom King on Facebook says, the midfield is solid. Need another centre-back and a quality striker. Just needed the cash. Johnson out was a very strange move. Tom King on Facebook. Yeah, let's talk about where you would like Pompey to improve then. And Rob, we've spoke about how many players Danny Cowley wants and how many players roughly Pompey fans out there are really wanting before tonight's deadline. It's between 2-3, maybe even 4, possibly, looking quite unlikely now. But certainly the positions which are, you know, desperately required, a centre-back, because if you look at Pompey's options at the moment, Clark Robertson, Sean Raggett and Paul Downing, arguably not quite strong enough to last a 46 league game season. Is that something of a priority for you, centre-back?
Yeah, I do think a centre-back would definitely be needed for cover, just in case we do unfortunately come across any injuries. I do think those strikers is probably the priority. As I said earlier, when we were talking about the Wigan game, if in League One you don't take your chances, then before you know it, you're going to be slipping further and further down the table. Mm. And as Jeff touched upon earlier with Marquis, I think when he initially signed for the club, everyone was so excited because, you know, you saw how well he did at Doncaster at this level as well. You're thinking, right, this is the main goal scorer. He hasn't quite reached those levels at Pompey, but I think a bit of competition wouldn't go amiss to try and, you know, make Marquis work a little bit harder, get on the score sheet a little bit more. But I think if Pompey are to get anything done before 11 o'clock tonight, then centre-back and striker are definitely the main priorities.
Yeah. Can you see a striker coming into the club tonight, Jeff, if Ellis Harrison does not leave Fratton Park? Because if you look at the striking options at the moment, John Marquis, Ellis Harrison, George Hurst and Ghassan Ahadmi, four strikers really fighting for a place in a formation, typically using only one. Can you see a fifth coming in?
I can't, to be honest, yeah. I think if Harrison doesn't go out, I think the priority is the defender. If he does go, then I think a striker and a defender will come in. I just can't see us carrying five strikers through to at least January.
No, not at all. Marcus Deakins on the email. Still think we need a reliable goal scorer and a centre-back as we are light in those areas. Would only be happy for anyone else to leave if there was a replacement brought in which improved the side overall. More money in the bank is no good if we are weaker on the pitch. Great email there from Marcus Deakins and Graham Wilkins. Hi, Jake. Hi, all. Back to Saturday against Wigan, I would have liked to seen Jacobs come on for Curtis, as Ronan Curtis just doesn't seem to be on his game because of a transfer speculation. On the loan signing of Aziz, he looks like an exciting prospect from what I've seen on YouTube and scores goals too. So whatever happens in the last 5 hours of a window, it's going to be a very interesting season. If we can sign another quality centre-half and another striker, I'd be happy with this. But if not, there's always the January window to come. It's just a shame it's an international break, which just stops any momentum teams need to get the season going. The thoughts there of Graham Wilkins on the emails. Let's talk now about some players who, according to social media anyway, and this isn't a huge thing to go by, as we all know, many players can be linked to Pompey. Ben Thompson is just one of many. Tom Eaves this morning was a strange rumour which got put to bed very, very quickly. Rob, a striker which, okay, a position of which fans are crying out for at the moment, but Tom Eaves, according to certain sources up in Humberside, supposedly coming down to Pompey on a season-long loan from the Championship team. That's been put to bed. That looks very unlikely to happen now. Say that rumour were true, would he be a player you'd be excited in signing?
100%. But I think, considering how quickly that rumour was shut down, I can't see that happening at all. But I think, hypothetically, let's say if the deal was completed for Pompey, I think he'd be a fantastic addition. Obviously, he's gone up to the Championship with Hull. He had a fantastic season last year. I think it'd be a massive coup for Pompey if they were able to get him in.
Yeah, and another one of the players rumoured today, midfielder Jordan Shipley from Coventry City. Again, nothing concrete in that whatsoever, but, you know, welcome to deadline day. If you haven't experienced it already, you hear all sorts of names thrown about. And again, another rumour which was quickly shut down by the local press. But, you know, it's been one of those deadline days, Jeff, as unfortunately we do seem to have with Pompey. It's been rather quiet and there's not really much in it. Could this be something that actually excites fans a little bit more come 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, when all of these random signings that no one's heard of suddenly appear? Or can you see this kind of dying out into a little bit of a disappointing window? Not a window, disappointing deadline day.
You know, I think that it was the news that published, or it might have been Hampshire Life published an article to say that Danny Cowley's made at least two signings on deadline day for the last three seasons or something like that. So that naturally gets the fans' hopes up. It G's them up. I would expect us to at least make one. And then I wouldn't be surprised if we sign someone who's terminated their contract elsewhere and a free agent becomes available. We've known that to happen before. So can I see two, three coming in? No, maybe one and a free agent in the next couple of days.
Of course, free agents can be signed at any point throughout the season. As Jeff mentions there, if they're not linked to a club, they can join another club at some point throughout the season. Doesn't matter about transfer windows. Mockers on Twitter has got in touch. John Marcus's strike rate is still impressive at this level. I agree with Jeff that he needs a strike partner and a bag of cement too, according to Mockers on Twitter. Still nothing really concrete on Jay Mingy, midfielder who was last at Charlton Athletic. He's 20 years old, on trial at Pompey this summer, but again, a player, Rob, who throughout the entire summer has been linked with Pompey. He's been on trial a couple of times. Nothing's gone through, and we are approaching the final few hours of transfer deadline. However, he is a free agent, so he could come at any point.
Yeah, well, the club had a lot of trialists this summer, didn't they? We saw, particularly in the friendlies, all sorts of trialists starting and coming off the bench and whatnot. I think, as a midfielder, I think we've got enough options in midfield, so maybe he might not be the addition that we need on deadline day. But if he's a free agent and the Cowleys think he's got enough quality to help the promotion push at Pompey, then why not?
Yeah. And so, Jeff, look, with a minute and a half of the show remaining, how boring. We've had no signings since transfer deadline day. I really thought it would be a little bit more special tonight. I'm gutted. I've been at work today. I've been preparing for today's show, refreshing Twitter in case anything's happened. Nothing. Still 7 p.m. Nothing. You watch it all unfold as soon as we come off air. 9 o'clock.
I'm going for 9 o'clock, Jake. 9 o'clock.
Do you know what?
Remember the joke we used to have a couple of seasons ago? 5
yeah.
o'clock?
Yeah. 5 o'clock.
9 o'clock. 9 o'clock is the new 5 o'clock.
9 o'clock is the new 5 o'clock. Fingers crossed. Normally we do a score prediction around this time of the show, Rob. But as Jeff's, you know, quite intervened there, we're going for a prediction for the time of the first signing of the night, if we get any at all. What time are you going for?
I'm gonna say. You know what? I'm gonna leave it late. I'm gonna say 10:30.
10:30.
Yeah.
10:30. Or Jeff, are Pompey going to do a Leeds a couple of seasons back and say, stay up, we've got some news coming, and then it's just a player departing and no one coming in?
Yeah, Pompey admins probably listen to this and hurriedly getting videos ready for the next 15 minutes.
Well, hopefully something does kick off in the next few hours at Fratton Parker. If anything does go through, Pompey fans, you can keep refreshing our Twitter at ExpressFM. You can refresh our website, expressfm.com. We'll bring you all of the latest news out of Fratton Park if anything happens. OK, well, I'm afraid we've reached the very end of tonight's Football Hour here on Express FM. This transfer deadline day special has ended rather poorly. We've had no new signings throughout the day, but hopefully there's a few hours left. Hopefully we will get some over the line before the 11 o'clock deadline. Once again, a huge thank you to tonight's guest, Jeff Harris. First of all, Jeff, thank you for coming on. We'll hear from you again soon. We'll hear from Jeff again soon. He's gone already. He's gone. He's hung the phone up. He doesn't want any more.
No, I'm here. I didn't know you wanted me to answer.
I'm saying goodbye. See you later, Jeff.
See you later.
And to Rob Calcutt as well. Been a great guest as well. Rob, have a great week, my friend. Stay safe.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for having me back on, mate.
We need some new guests. We need to train these guys out, don't we? Okay, coming up here on Express FM, 7 o'clock after the news, Decades Party, an hour dedicated to just great songs of each decade from the 70s, 80s, 90s and the noughties. And the Express wind down through from 11 o'clock into the early hours of 2 a.m. tomorrow morning. Nicola Lashley is back with Express Breakfast from 6:30 tomorrow. Ian James is back from 1. James Percy from 4 through till 6. And Over the White Line with Henry Deacon at 6 o'clock. I'm back with a Football Hour on Friday night with more Pompey discussion. But until then, Blues fans, have a great week. Hopefully, we'll enjoy a busy deadline day evening. Stay safe. Play up, Pompey.